although...
Hi, Nico. This morning I'd like to tell you a bit about socionomics for the simple reason that I've now completed a bundle of essays with that title. And socionomics is my attempt to find an alternative for the problems which we have by the studies of sociology and economics. What I'm trying to find is a way to describe how society is created by humans in the same way that our body is created by living cells. And in socionomics, I want to find a way to help people understand that humanity as a whole is an organism, is an entity, a living being, but that humanity also as a whole is conscious. And the best way that I can see to describe that is by relating the consciousness of humanity to the consciousness that we have of our body. And so in our body we can see that we are conscious of our environment. When we close our eyes we can feel what goes on in our body. People have learned to meditate and go deeper in their awareness and can actually experience what happens in their organs. Most people sense that as the, let's call it, the after images of their lifetime experiences, the way we digest our experiences. And people who are really well trained in meditation can actually go to the level of cell experience. And that actually is, of course, the cycle which every night we go through. In the sleep cycle, when we go from the environment experience to the body experience to the organ experience to the cellular experience. And I've described a lot of that in integralhealthcare.info. What I try to do is to use that insight in the way that society is composed of humans creating relationships, forming groups, which together form humanity. And what I find is that people are very unaware of the way in which there is a different level of consciousness for each of these different scopes of scales of involvement. Involvement is a bundle of essays which I will still describe separately, which applies the principle of freedom of choice to the way we interact with our environment and interact with each other. So that's one of the underlying tools and one of the underlying principles which I use in socionomics. But in socionomics I focus mainly on the way that individuals form relationships, then form groups and form humanity. But accounting for the fact that individuals are conscious in what they do in relationships, all parties are conscious of what they do, but they are not conscious of what the other does. So that's a subconscious experience. In groups, which are actually relationships of relationships, you can see that goes a level deeper. So that is where we then experience the unconscious social processes. And when we look at humanity as a whole, which is part of the environment that we live in with all other life forms, then we can see that that is even out of conscious. In the same way as in our daily life, when we walk around on the earth, we are conscious of what happens around us. When we close our eyes, we go to the subconscious. We can go deeper down meditation to the unconscious, and we can even go down to the cellular level of the out of conscious. There is an interesting mirroring in that, because of course when you look from the perspective of the cells, which we consider to be outside of our consciousness, for the cells it's the other way around. As cells are in themselves conscious, then when the cells form organs, they are all part of that consciousness which they share in their organ functioning. So they are sub routines or sub in that submerged in that consciousness. So that is then well described by the word subconscious. And when you see how cells in organs are part of a system of different organs, then of course they're unconscious of what happens in the other organs, but they have an indirect experience of that. So for the cells, what happens in the other organs is their unconsciousness, so the whole body experience for the cell is unconscious. And what happens outside of the body for the cells is literally out of consciousness. So what I try to describe in socionomics is these different levels of awareness, these different levels of consciousness, and correlate them with the different levels of function of the individual in relationships, in groups, in society or humanity. Because I try to show two things. On the one hand, that humanity as a whole is a living and conscious being, and that the consciousness of humanity is based on the consciousness of the individual. That, in a way, asks for humans to become conscious of their unconscious and out-of-conscious level of being. In other words, those people who meditate and in themselves experience consciously what everybody does in the sleep cycle, those people who meditate then know that they can go from the conscious to the subconscious to the unconscious to the out-of-conscious. But as a result, they are able to operate at those different levels of consciousness. They are aware that these address different levels of complexity, that they are actually different aspects of our being, and that they are connected to different functioning levels within our body and being. People would note as the environment, the body, the organs, and the cells. The second part of my quest is to help people understand that this understanding of the cycle of meditation, or the cycle of sleep, or the cycle of awareness of the human as humanity is also part of the principle of healing. Because in healing, evidently, when we do something in the environment which doesn't match up with what the body can do, then there will be a stress on the organs. They will run into a problem which can cause organic disease. And in fact, many of the organic diseases and organ diseases are a result of that. That's called the psychosomatic mechanism. But likewise, there are cell diseases which are the consequence simply of a stress taking place at the level of the organs. So when people meditate, they learn to go from the environment experience to the body experience. In their body, they can feel if there are stresses and residues of stresses of experiences that they had, so that they can digest it, literally, that they can metabolize the stress which they have in their experience of themselves, in interaction with others, in their environment on Earth. And when they go into that, they can actually zoom in on details of that, that they can discover that the stress which they have is one of anger, or one of fear, or one of apathy. And that is what in traditional medicine was already discovered long time ago, and then described as the gods of the Olympus, or the Roman gods. In India, it is known as the organs. So actually, when people go into the experience of the stresses that they have in their daily life, and when they determine what emotion is involved with that, then in traditional medicine you can see that, for example, anger is related to the liver, fear is related to the kidneys, aloofness is related to the lung and large intestine, acceptance is related with the stomach, happiness is related with the heart, and so on. So that in that activity of meditation, in the analysis of what feeling do I have about the event which causes me stress, and then people are able to interact with, let's call it, the gods of the Olympus, or more literally the deities of the Ayurvedic system of thinking. And then you can see that we are actually dealing with the organs. When people go into a deeper level of meditation, they can go into that awareness that the organs which they are experiencing are in fact part of a cellular being, and that they can take a decision at a cellular level. That is also part of the whole description of freedom of choice, which underlines the project of socionomics. Because in the project on freedom of choice, you can see that we all have freedom of choice. On the basis of freedom of choice, we can create decisions which determine our involvement. Are we involved, yes or no, with what happens around us? As a result of that, we will create a conviction or a belief. It is now like this, it is now like that, I decided. And as a result of that, again, we will act on that by reflex. So in socionomics, we make use of that principle of freedom of choice, that we have freedom of choice, we take decisions, we create convictions, and then we operate by reflex.
Yes.
I try to describe all this because I find that in humanity at the moment, there are some very severe problems. Humanity as a whole is killing all kind of life forms. The estimate is that 1,000 species are dying per day because of herbicide, pesticide, changes of the landscape done by unthinking humans. But also, the planet is severely polluted by a layer of plastic, a layer of aluminium, and a layer of debris which people have created, but also by an immense amount of toxins that humans are producing. This pollution of the planet and this killing of the planet is all based on a view of economics in which profit, specifically money profit, is the one factor that is being accounted for. So in economics, we can see that money is taken as a measure to gauge the activity of humans in a way regardless of the circumstances. And that has something to do with the laws that have been created around money. There is a separate project called quantum economics in which, together with others, I'm trying to resolve that problem of money in economics. And that is also the reason why I started this project, Socionomics. Money in economics is a very deceptive measure because, as everybody knows, money can be deflated and inflated. Money is no more than a piece of paper with a color on it and a number on it. And money is a quantity without a quality. But money also has no own value. It only has the value that people are willing to give it. Money is merely a symbol, and in that sense, money fully qualifies for that famous description of Faustus, as described by Jan van Goethe and Robert Marlowe in their plays and book called Faustus. So in Faustus you can see that there is this guy who means well, who is then seduced by the devil, who represents the banker, mm-hmm. To acquire fame and fortune by what the devil can offer, and in this case that is money. You can literally see that the story of Faustus describes what people can acquire with money, and then in the end of the story, Faustus, as described by Johann von Goethe, he discovers that it is a false contract, that money in fact has no value, and that when he's told that he needs to sell his soul, that is indeed what you find in the use of money, because money is a hidden contract. In the use of money, you lose your freedom of choice, and that's exactly what the soul represents. So in a project of quantum economics, that we are addressing this issue that we cannot use money as a measure for the activities in society, for the simple reason that money has no value of its own, because it is only a symbol, that whatever value is given to money, it is highly flexible. It's like trying to measure the size of a house with a rubber yardstick. The more you pull, the shorter the house seems to be. And in that way, there are a number of topics to be resolved about economics, which in quantum economics are being resolved by not using money as the measure of activities of humanity, but to use the concept of the quantum. And that's where quantum economics is directly tied in with the research on tetrionics. And tetrionics is created by Calvin Abraham, and it is based on the realization that in physics every change in the universe can be pointed back to the quantum, and that in fact a quantum leap will cause an electron leap, which can cause an electron oscillation, which will then cause electron bonding, which means that from a quantum change the electromagnetic field will change, the chemistry will change, and then the physics will change. So it makes a lot of sense to take that unit of change which physics has found to be valid for the universe as a whole, and on the one hand base all of physics on that, and that is what Calvin Abrahams is doing for tetrionics, but on the other hand to use that insight also for economics. That is why that other project is called quantum economics, that we can use the quantum as the unit of change, which means that whatever is done by humans and whatever is done by humanity is then connected to the quantum as the fundamental unit of change of the universe, but which also means that the quantum is already available to everybody and anybody, and that you don't need bankers to get to it, so that people can again create their own money and create their own banks and create their own life and no longer live in debt, because the system of money produced by banks by a contract of debt basically puts everybody in slavery. So all of the people who are using money, bank money, are enslaved. And as the bankers are dependent on these people to be able to live, and that's also the reason why bankers try to keep people dependent on the use of money by imposing taxation and other means, that is then where we see that a money-based society is actually living an addiction. So in this project of quantum economics, we already resolved a lot of the problems of economics and found the way to bring it back to real values, which are those of the quantum. And then of course there is a separate part of that story which is described in this the essay series on freedom of choice, which is that freedom of choice is actually our ability to change quantum. We can in our life and in our being flip a quantum, which is quite remarkable. So we actually can interact with the most basic elements, the most basic entities, the most basic principle of the creation of this universe. We can decide to be involved, yes or no. And that's what you find in the quantum, specifically as defined in tetrionics. A quantum there is represented as an equilateral triangle with a positive and a negative charge on the one side and the other side, plus a magnetic polarity at the bottom. So it has an electric plus and minus charge on the both sides of the triangle, and it has a north and a south pole at the bottom of the triangle. And on that basic, tetrionics then describes how a quantum can form a photon, and how quanta and photons can form tetrons, which are the basis of matter, and then how the quantum and photon together in the forming of an electromagnetic field can drive all of the changes in the universe by moving matter. So tetrionics has a wonderful and very detailed description of that fundamental principle of change in the universe. And by that definition, tetrionics was also able to rediscover all of the fundamental principles which physicists have been able to formulate over the past century. So there is a very good reason to use tetrionics to resolve that principle of economics, to basically get people out of slavery and have them go back from the use of money as the measure of change in the universe, to go back to the unit of the quantum in interaction with freedom of choice, which is where our responsibility comes in. And that is separately described in those series of essays on freedom of choice, where basically there are always four elements: that we have freedom of choice, but everybody else has that as well, so we need to respect that. So the second element of is respect. Of course, if we use freedom of choice in an environment that makes us response able, because we are now able to respond by knowing that we have freedom of choice, so that makes response ability the third ingredient. And then, of course, if we want to create changes but continue to build on that, we need reliability. So the four elements of the principle of freedom of choice are: first, freedom of choice; second, respect; third, responsibility; fourth, reliability. So my question was, how can we then define society on that basis, and how can we define a society not based on money, as is described by economics and politics, but can we describe a society based on these innate human values of freedom of choice, of respect, responsibility, and reliability? So in socionomics, that is what I try to describe. Sorry, Anne. This is the essence of socionomics. Socionomics is based on four ingredients: that society is always based on individuals, which then can choose the kind of relationships that they go into. Thereby, they can then create a community, a group, in which they can mutually support each other. And then all of these groups in humanity function like organs in our body, so that all of these societies and humanity together form humanity. And that basically then gives a bottom-up model of politics and religion, because religion is a word which describes the connection between the part and the whole. Religion, from religare, is again connect, to rejoin, the same as the fundamental meaning of the word yoga. So in religion, we try to show how every part is never a part, but always a part of the whole. And in this case, it's about rediscovering that every human is a cell in the body of humanity. And so in socionomics, it starts with that realization that we are all human. We therein can respect each other and thereby can make a valid relationship between each other, with each other. As a result, we can then have a responsible group or community in which everybody has an equal role in being an equal cell in that organ of humanity. And then we can also go and continue with the reliability of that, that we can rely on every other community also being an organ in the body of humanity, and that we therein all complement each other. So that then gives the possibility to understand how individuals, by relationships in groups, form humanity, that therein they apply the principles of freedom of choice, which is that they have freedom of choice. They respect others to use that as well. They are responsible in what they do, and they aim to be reliable in everything they do, so that we can all build on what we are all doing, which is exactly what we find in the body that we live in. Because we can then see that we're actually talking about this relationship between the cells forming organs, forming our body, which then together form humanity. But we can then also see that we operate at four different levels of consciousness. As an individual, we are aware of our choices, and of course we must learn from our mistakes. So we will need to take into account that we will make mistakes, but that we are able to correct them. And then at the second level, in relationships, we can then also learn from the mistakes of others. So we have to make less mistakes. We can actually operate this principle of contagious health. Anybody who has made a mistake and learned from it can help others to prevent that. So in a way, that's where we go from healthcare to preventive healthcare. And also, when we then form groups, we can see that we create communities, societies, in which people support each other, and not as we now see in economics, that people are all competing for the same money, which is created by the banks, which are like the high priest of the superstition of the golden calf. And they make sure that there is not enough money to go around, which is why there is unemployment. Simply those are people who did not apply with the bank for money and thus do not get funded. Mm-hmm. But there's also bankruptcy, which is simply the percentage of people that will no longer be able to get money because they pay interest, and the percentage of interest is also the same as the percentage of bankruptcies. So if we look at the money-based economy, we find that it is very competitive, but also very crippled. And there is a very strong parallel to the way banks, via the superstition of money, have now put people in a prison, in the same way as in the past the meat eaters have started to domesticate animals by putting them in a corral, by fencing them in, and then feeding them only as much food as they needed to survive, and not enough food to be able to jump out of the fences. So in society, we find that humanity as a whole, whenever they are using money as a means to communicate with each other, on the one hand, they're always in competition with each other to get that money. So it gets a very competitive and also a very criminal society. But on the other hand, that society can never fully develop because the bankers never provide enough money. Because the banking system is basically parasitical, and through the bankruptcies and other means, the bankers are essentially buying up the planet, simply because people are caught in the superstition of money, and they believe that money can actually represent values and can represent ownership. While at the basis of everything, we can see that humanity, like all life forms, is living off the fruits of the earth. And all of the fruits of the earth come for free because the earth as a whole is owned by nobody. Earth was here before humans were here. But also earth in itself always produces abundance. So if you plant one grain of wheat, you will find many grains of wheat coming back out of that. So in socionomics, the quest is to understand how people can create a community which is self-supportive by people supporting each other and using that abundance of nature to create their communities. Which basically means that in socionomics we need to come back to the understanding that nobody can own Earth, and that people must have free access to the soil so that they can create their own farm, their community farm, and also thus their farm community, and then with each other can create a culture, and with other communities can exchange the abundance that they produce. And in that approach, you then can see that the principle of humans forming relationships, forming groups, can be taken to three levels already very easily. And the only thing that is needed then is that people in the different communities realize that we all together form humanity, and that every community in every different culture in definitely different context complement us in what we do. And that's precisely what we see in the living body, where we have different organs as described in Greek mythology by the different gods of the Olympus, because all of these different organs together have a different capacities to interact, to interface with the environment. And that is also something described in traditional healthcare, that the springtime forces are different from the summer forces, different from the autumn forces, different from the winter forces in nature. So when we look at plants, we can see that in winter the seeds are dormant in the soil. And in our body we can see that there is a capacity for hibernation associated with the kidneys and the bladder and the bones, as a possibility for the body to retreat in itself, which is also in our consciousness a state of unconsciousness, like the hibernation or the coma sleep to survive a situation in which we basically cannot live well. Then in springtime, which in the body would be the liver activity or the emergence of conscious, the unconscious activities, we can then see that the plants start to sprout out and form little seedlings which can then grow out. And in the summer we can then see that everything is blooming, that the seed has turned inside out to form a flower, and that the inside out seeds are cross-pollinating with each other. And likewise in our body we can see that what's happened at the level of the heart and the blood circulation in the body, which is also a subconscious process of the emotion digestion in our life and being. And then in autumn we can see that we harvest the fruits, whatever is not needed drops back to the earth and refertilizes the planet. And in our body likewise we can see that in the digestive system of the organs, specifically in the stomach, where we can then integrate the experience to grow on and develop new levels of being. So that's where we then have a very direct connection between socionomics as the description of the way people individually by relationships form groups forming humanity, and that in that process they actually do the same as cells forming organs, forming the body, forming humanity, that they also make use of the principle of health and healing, because evidently if you understand that there is this process of the seed hibernating in winter, sprouting in spring, flowering in summer, and bearing seed in autumn, then you can also see that this is the process of the seed turning inside out, but also the dynamic of hibernation, which is being separate from the seasons, to spring, which is activation, which is starting to participate in the environment, to summer, which is integration, exchange, which is that sharing of the food flow in the way that all life forms share the DNA by all being part of the food chain of the planet. And then in the autumn, the internalization, the integration of that realization in every living being. So we see that in that integration with Earth, every living being is going through that cycle, therein all these cycles of all these life forms are interconnected. All of the life forms together form the life on Earth. We all feed each other with our DNA, which is our, say, memory of our survival on Earth and what we have added to our abilities to survive on the planet. So all the life forms feed each other with our life experiences so that all of the life forms together can build up on those harvested experiences of life. And that together gives that reliability of the continuation of life. So in a way we can see that that circle, that cycle of the seasons is exactly the same as that circle, that cycle of the sleep cycle, which is also the same as the metabolic cycle, which is also the same as the circulation of healing. So in that way, socionomics is then a description of the principle of healing fully integrated with the development of social integrity, how humans form relationships, forming cultures, forming humanity on Earth. So this is basically the story of socionomics, how to bring it together to a closing off, a rounding off. I started with socionomics because I realized that there were severe problems with economics. And the problem with economics that it is essentially a system of slavery, which has existed for 2,000 years. Basically, if you look earlier on with the Babylonian and the Egyptian traditions before that, it already exists for over 6,000 years and is exemplified by the bankers, which we can understand to be Faustus in the well-known book and theater play. That economic reality is basically creating wars because it is always competitive and it is always based on insufficiencies, deficiencies. People in that system need money to survive, but withholding money is also a punishment. That means that money in that sense is the behavioralistic carrot and stick at the same time, which of course for the people who try to control society is a very effective means. But as described in the Book of Faustus, the only control that is actually taking place is that of a superstition. People believing that money is actually something that they need in society, and people being killed if they do not comply with that. We can see that the latest wars we had were all about instituting interest-based banks in countries where they had interest-free banking. So the problems of economics can be solved by realizing, as did Faustus, that money is a false contract and that the value of money lies only in people committing themselves to create something which benefits everybody. So the bankers, as a kind of priests, have assumed that role, that they will determine if people can get money for whichever idea they want to realize. But if you turn that around and people are free to express what idea they want to realize, and then with each other they can agree on how they can best realize those ideas, then out of that communities will form, productive communities will form, who of course will be making best use of the earth resources, because that is for the betterment of all of humanity. And then you can see that all of these communities together can share their fruits in the same way that all of the life forms of Earth share their DNA, and in that way share the learning which they acquired of survival on Earth. Socionomics is then in a way a cure or a remedy or a recipe for the culture which we now see as described by economics. And rather than describing it on the basis of money, We can resolve that by describing it in terms of the fundamental unit of change of the universe, which is that of the quantum. But then we must realize that the quantum is directly connected to our freedom of choice. And so where quantum economics goes more into that attempt to describe a parallel of economics, but now not based on money, but based on the quantum, in socionomics, we try to describe the same, but not using the quantum as the basis of change, but freedom of choice, because that is where humans operate their consciousness, where together they can create a culture, and where as humanity they can care for the earth. So socionomics is a quest to look at the way people in themselves create their own identity, that with each other they create worthy and worthwhile relationships, not based on money, but based on their own integrity and based on the way that they can support each other. And then at the next level, at those people who have their individual networks of friends and people that they can work with, can then work with other networks of friends, and they can rely those on those people, and they can trust them, and together can work on projects which go way beyond what they can do individually or with the network of friends and colleagues that they have. So that then the projects become the means for people to connect in much larger groups. And of course, one of the first projects people would have is to create a community. So in socionomics, there is also an aspect where that coming to consciousness, the developing of consciousness of an individual in relationship, in a group, in humanity, follows all those steps paralleling the development from baby to child to adolescent to adult, that people are able to make their free choices, but also that they become responsible in their family, that they become responsible in their community, that become responsible in their country, and in that sense everybody becomes a politician, and that all of the people together decide how they can best form their society and how all of these societies can best help each other and support each other to form humanity. And this comes back also to an idea presented by Lynn Margulis, that all of the major developments in biology are all based on the symbiosis of cells, and that different cells coming together are then able to resolve their common needs by a common effort, which means that they have less work on providing to their for their common needs. But then by their differences, they are able to do much more than they can do individually. And that is precisely what we find in the cells having formed the organs, all of the organs having different capacities, and together making it possible for the cells to walk around on the earth, to go to the North Pole, to go to the tropics, to live on the land, to live on the oceans, and so on. And so it is that innate property of our being, which we already find in the way the cells form the organs, known as the gods, because they define the way we can integrate, interact with the environment. And then in that same way, we can have different cultures which, like the circle of the gods, can share the bloodstream like we see in the organs in the body, as a result of which they can nourish each other and can carry each other even further in their development. So socionomics is based on the concept of mutual support and symbiosis, as we find in our body and as described by Lynn Margulis. And in that sense, socionomics is also an attempt to describe in a rather formal way how, as individuals, we create relationships, creating communities to create humanity in which all of the principles of healing and all of the principles of consciousness and all of the principles of the mutual support in the food chains are interconnected. So that essentially is the idea of socionomics as now being described in this website socionomics.scienceoflife.nl. And just a word of caution, all of these texts there are essays. And essays are like instruments, they're like thought instruments, they're explorations of thought. And just as a builder will use instruments to create a house, to create the windows, to create plumbing, to create electricity and so on, likewise an instrument builder will take instruments and improve them. So essays are not descriptive texts, but they are explorational texts. So in essays, the purpose is not to describe things as they are or can be, but essays are instruments to go from the knowledge that we have to the knowledge that we can have. So essays are explorations. That's also what the word essay literally means, to essayer, to test, to try out, to experiment. So essays are Gedanken experiments in which we can explore ideas to see where they can get us to help us develop the knowledge that we have into knowledge that we can use to do things which we as yet cannot do. That is the purpose of an instrument builder, to create new tools to be able to do the things we could not do before. So that's a word of caution in reading those essays, that they are exercises to change our thinking. So they are not meant to affirm the knowledge that we have. They are not meant to affirm the kind of thinking that we have, because they are aimed to resolve the problems that we have by the thinking that we have. When we need to resolve a superstition, we cannot stay in that superstition. We need to have a different form of thinking. So in that way, all of these texts are essays, are exercises in different thinking, so that we can come up with different solutions which hopefully work better. And in this case, the aim of socionomics is to help people to connect up with each other in a way which is responsible and reliable, which acknowledges freedom of choice and is based on mutual respect. So that essentially is the purpose of socionomics. And thanks for listening. That really helps to put the story out.